a motherless woman out of a man in creation. I think her name was Eve. And he took a fatherless baby, took it out of a woman called Mary. Nobody like him. Nobody can do the things that he does. As I said before, Jesus ain't like nobody. I'm going to give you something that the Lord brought to my attention just yesterday. Do we know the alphabet? At least the first four letters of the alphabet? Do we know that? Can we say A, B, C, D? A, B, C, D. Do you know that God is so awesome that whenever we think of time, that God is in the middle of time? Jesus Christ is in the middle of what we consider time. Do you understand what I'm talking about? When I say A, B, C, D, when things happened before Christ, they were what? B.C. When things happen after he passed, it's A.D. And then when you put A, B, C, D together, the B.C. is right in the middle, because he is the Alpha, the A, and he is the Omega, the D. On this day, we have to make the cross the very central and the focus point of everything that we do. They thought that they were destroying Jesus, but actually they wasn't. It was fake news. It was fake news because they thought he was dead. They thought that they were killing him, but they wasn't. He was just following the game plan that God had drew up way outside of time. They didn't understand when Jesus said certain things to them. In John 2 and 19, the scripture reads, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. You see, there's something different between physical eyes and spiritual eyes. Because Jesus was talking spiritual, and they were looking at the physical. They were looking at the temple that they were standing in, and they it took us 46 years to build this temple. And you're saying in 3 days you can build it up again? But Jesus was talking about his body. Amen? And we got to learn to understand things through spiritual eyes in order to understand what Jesus is saying to us. When Jesus was risen from the dead, that's when his disciples, the same people who followed him for 3.5 years, that's when they remembered what Jesus, they understood what Jesus was talking about. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus was a bad man. He was a bad man. You know, bad people, they like to sit up there and profess and say things. They like to sell what we used to call wolf tickets. Amen? You ever had people give you wolf tickets? I remember after school, we used to, you know, after playing basketball, we would gather around in the park for another hour, and we would just sell wolf tickets to each other. Just for no reason, wolf tickets. To see who was the last man standing. To see who had made the funniest joke. Jesus didn't sell wolf tickets. But he made promises. In John 10 and 18, it says, therefore, my Father do love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. And then he looked at them and he says, no man take it from me. I could see him right now pointing his finger at them and then at himself. He said, no man take it, my life, from me, but I lay it down. I'm the author of this. I lay it down. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. Somebody say amen. That's a bad man. Nobody takes my life from me. Do you realize that you have the power to say, no man can take your life from you. When you're in Christ, no man can take your life from you. Because you have a promise to live again. You realize when Christ died on the cross, he died for you and he died for me to conquer sin. But he rose again. And when he rose again, if you're in Christ, you can surely rise again. So you can say to the devil, no man, no devil in hell can take my life from me. It was indeed the instigation of the Jews and the orders of Pilate and by means of the Roman soldiers to crucify him. The same people that were praising him a week later were saying, slay him, kill him. Take his life from this earth. And that's exactly what they did. They took his life from this earth, but they didn't take his life from eternity. Amen? And nobody can do anything, nobody can take anything away without the Father's will. And the same goes for us. The devil can't do anything to us unless it's the Father's will. Amen? See, when we go through trials, we go through tribulations, we are being formed. We're being prepared for something that God wants us to do. We are walking, talking testimony of the power of God. What no man can do, no man could take away his life without his consent. See, that bad man, Jesus Christ, he said, go ahead and do it. I'm here. I'm ready. Because the 3 years that he was on his ministry, it prepared him for what he was going to do. Amen? So I want to tell you that 10% of his life was ministry, outreach ministry. But the other 30 years was preparing him for where God wanted him to go. Sometimes we have to realize that when God wants you to go somewhere, he just don't throw you out there. He don't just make you do it, but he prepares you mentally and physically for what it is that you have to go through. He prepared Jesus, I don't know how long out in eternity, but he prepared him here on this earth for 30 years, for 3 years worth of work. Maybe you feel like God should be using you to do something, but you're not. But he's preparing you. So don't give up hope and don't stop. Amen? We lose hope too quickly. Somebody told me one time, hope is eternal. Jesus says, I have the power to lay it down. This is not the life that he's talking about. He's talking about his life as God, because Jesus was God on earth in human form. Amen? People were looking at it like he was a human like everybody else, but there was nobody like him. Nobody like him. And when he said, I have the power to take it up again, he said, I have power. Now, saints, what I'm saying to you today, when he left, he says, I will give you power, even more power than I had. Amen? If once you receive the Holy Spirit, you have power. Now, I'm saying that once you receive the Holy Spirit, because I don't want you to get saved and sanctified and think you got all of this power. You need the Holy Spirit to have that power, that dunamis power that he had. Amen? And when you have dunamis power, when you walk the streets, oh, the devil's going to know you there. I love what Sister Paulette said the other week. She said, do you want the devil to start shaking his head in his boots saying, oh, Lord, here they come again? You want him to be shaking in your boots when you wake up in the morning. You want him to know that trouble's on his way for him. If you don't give him trouble, he certainly will give you trouble. Either you're going to go on the offensive or always be on the defensive. And when you're on the defensive, you're always taking a step back. You know when you're stepping back, you can't see behind your head. You don't know what's coming up behind you. But when you're on the offense, everything is in front of you. We got to keep the enemy in front of us. You keep him in front of you so you know where he's at. See, no matter what the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Romans did, Jesus kept them right in front of him. He kept them right in front of him. How did he do that? He did that with prayer. He did that with fasting. We know that some demons you can only get rid of through prayer and even he had to fast. And if Jesus has to fast, we have to fast. Jesus says he did this because he received this commandment. Now, I want to stop right there for a second. You know, sometimes we receive commandments and we are disobedient. He was never disobedient to his Father. How many times have we been disobedient to the Father? How many times have we been disobedient to the Father? How many people have been disobedient to the Father? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to raise them. That's a rhetorical question because we all have been disobedient to the Father. When you were born, you were disobedient because you were born into sin. So we all have been disobedient to the Father. But what I want to really talk about today is this thing called the fixed point. Amen? Because really where we are today, this cross is the fixed point. It is the point as the central act of our goal in being Christians for Jesus Christ. Amen? When you look at the definition of a fixed point, it is a point that cannot be moved by any given transformation. That cross, no matter what you do to it, no matter how you dice it or how you slice it or how you interpret it, it is always going to be the fixed point of the gospel. Because without that cross, we're here for nothing. Amen? Do you want me to break it down to you? Okay. Bishop said, break it down. When you get married, you want to get married for love. That should be the fixed point of what it is that you're doing. And if it's not, what you get married for? That should be the center and the focus point. And everything that you do after that in your marriage should work towards the center, fixed point of your marriage. In the gospel, the fixed point of the gospel is that cross. And everything that we do, that should be the fixed point. Amen? Whatever it is that we're doing, when we're singing, we should be singing to the glory of the cross. Don't be singing to sound good. Sing to the glory of God. That's why people who can't sing but sing to the glory of God can turn a church in and out. It ain't always the prettiest singing. When we minister, it should be ministering to the glory of God, to that cross. Amen? And why should we do that? Because Romans 4 and 25 explains it to us that while we were still sinners, while we were still the enemy of him, that he loved us just enough to go die on that cross. The Bible tells me greater love has no man than to give up his life. So while I use marriage as a focal point, that word of love is still in there. Because God so loved the world, that cross is a place of victory over sin. You see, when we give ourselves over to the Lord, we conquer sin as well. Amen? Wait a minute. Let me change that. We don't conquer sin. We die to sin. We die to sin. You're not going to conquer sin, but you can die to it. That cross is a fixed point for victory over the world. You see, there's so many miserable people because they don't have that cross. This cross is not for us to be miserable. It's not for us to be joyless. It's for us to be filled with joy and glory of another world that is to come. You know, when we were children, we were so happy and full of joy because we knew Christmas was coming. Couldn't wait in anticipation of that day. We couldn't wait for the gifts and the toys and the food and the candy. Have you ever felt that way? That's the way we should be feeling about the other world to come. That's the way we should be feeling about salvation. That's the way we should be feeling about that cross, knowing that in another world to come, all the goodies are going to come along with it. That cross is the center of victory over Satan. In Colossians, it says, he forgave us all of our transgressions and blotted out the writings against us, having taken it out of our way and nailed it to the cross. You see, every transgression that you've ever done, every sin that ever occurred that you know about, everything that you've ever done, no matter what you've done, no matter who you've hurt, no matter how many people you talked about, it's nailed to that cross. You see, that cross has not only Jesus and the world at that time sin, but it has the sins of everybody that has ever lived, everybody that is ever going to live. Sometimes we get burdened down with a sin that we have done against one another. Can I get an amen? Amen. Have somebody done something to you, or you've done something to somebody and you felt so bad about it because you know you did them dirty? Nobody's done dirty. But I'll talk about me then. I've done dirty. Amen? And I've done dirty sometimes. Well, it just felt so bad. It was a heavy burden for me to bear. Sometimes I didn't know whether or not a person was going to forgive me or not. But Jesus, nobody like him. That's the one that I can always count on. No matter what, whether you forgive me or not, he forgives me. No matter what I did, he forgives me. No matter what, he forgives me. The scripture says he blots it all out. He clears the writing. I don't have to walk around probation. I don't have probation. Once he wipes it out, it's out. I don't have to see it no more. He don't even remind me of it no more. The devil's just walking around reminding me of it again. He's the one that wants me to feel bad about it. But Jesus wipes it out. All gone. Clean slate. The Bible says he forgave all of us of our transgressions. Let me tell you something. You want to know something? That devil possessed Judas, the one who betrayed him. You know he forgave Judas. He knew what he was going to do ahead of time. He knew it. And he forgave him. As he was being nailed on that cross, he looked at all of those people saying, "Crucify him. Crucify him." He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There's somebody that's going to be born in 2020. You know what he said? "Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do." Somebody's going to be born in 2118. And you know what he said? "Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do." The scripture further says, and he disarmed the principalities and the powers. All of those devils, all of those demons, the high-ranking ones, the low ones, he disarmed all of them. We know that when we talk about principalities, there's different levels of devils, don't we? There's generals, there's colonels, there's captains, there's corporals, there's lieutenants, and there's privates. Depending on who you are and what your potential is in Christ, that's the demon that's assigned to you. If you got a big demon, you got a officer demon after you. But it doesn't make a difference of the ranking. The scripture says he disarmed all of them. You can't disarm them. But he disarmed all of them for you. And how did he do that? By dying on that cross. By dying on the cross. Because they thought they killed him. They said good riddance. But he said, I'm coming back. It says he disarmed them and he put them to shame. He put every demon, every demoness, every captain and corporal, he put them to shame. It said leading them captive into the triumph of Christ. Have you ever seen pictures of the army when they've captured the enemy and they put them in chains and they lead them to camp? The Bible's telling us right now in that scripture that he took all of them, made them ashamed, took them captive, leading them to the triumph of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. That's what Resurrection Sunday is about. It's about victory over sin. It's about victory over the devil. It's about victory over demons. It's about victory in your life. Bible says you have hope when there was no hope. Hope beyond hope. That's what that's about. It says now, the prince of peace of this world will be cast out. Don't you know that they wanted the prince of this world? The prince of this world is not Jesus. It's the devil. You sell your soul to the devil, he'll give you just about anything you want. Hallelujah. You need to think about it. You will want something so bad, but the devil will give it to you if you sell your soul to him. You don't believe me? Let me give you another example. You ever see people in these multi-marketing schemes and you have people on top? They are sold out on what it is that they're doing because they can't even hold a conversation with you without talking about that stuff. Amen? You want to talk about the price is right and they're going to start talking about that product that they're trying to sell. You want to go buy some IV soap and they're going to tell you about the soap that they have that they can sell you. You want to talk about, I'm going to Macy's to get me some socks. They'll tell you, we got socks too. Because their whole life, their whole function, their whole mentality, their whole goal, their whole focus is on that product. And then they look like they got it all. They got to look, they tell you how much money they're making because of where they're at. They tell you about these vacations they get because of where they're at. They're sold out. Why can't we be sold out for the Lord? All of that stuff is temporary. They can't take them soap, that socks, they can't take none of that with them. That money, they can't take none of that with them. That vacation is going to be three days and four nights or whatever it is. And then they're going to be back home. Come on now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all get all of them advertisements. The devil and everybody associated with him were disarmed at Calvary. If I ask you today, if I ask most people today, what's bothering you? What's going on in your life? What is your biggest concern? You're going to say, oh, the enemy's after me. The devil's doing this. He's doing that to me. The devil won't give me no peace. I got a devil at work, and I'm supposed to get a promotion, and he won't let me have it. I got a devil living in my house, and I pray, Lord, that this devil leave in the name of Jesus. Devil after my children. Pray for my children, the devil after them. Don't you know you got power over the devil? You're giving him too much power. You're giving him too much respect. Oh, hallelujah. If you don't take it this Resurrection Sunday, take this. Stop respecting the devil. Don't you know he got no power? You don't give him. You are in Christ. All you have to do is say the name Jesus. He starts running. All you got to do is say Jesus. All you got to do is anoint your house with oil. All you got to do is anoint your death with oil. All you got to do is put on the full armor of God before you walk out of the door. Don't just cover yourself. Cover your children. Cover your workplace. Cover that devil husband of yours. That devil wife of yours. They might not let you do it, but just touch the hem of their garment. Just the hem. Just say, honey, give me a hug. Just, I can't do it with you. Honey, give me a hug. Honey, just give me a hug. Just touch it. They never know what hit them. They come home, they say, you know, I had a good day today. The Lord was with me. Something happened. And now I know. Fool the devil. You ain't got to play with him. You ain't got to fight with him. We got tools and weapons of warfare. Put on the full armor of God. Each and every day. You can tell the devil to go to hell. That's home. Hallelujah. I know some people have been waiting to tell some people to go to hell. Tell the devil to go to hell. I know. You can't fool me. I know. When Christ had the victory over Satan, it is essential for you to know that we crucified the old Adam life. You know the old Adam life, sometimes I get upset and I call y'all Adam's people. Some of y'all know that. We go through some things. I said, listen, those are Adam's people. What do you want? Adam sinned. And we all part of his bloodline. We all born into sin. Only way to get out of sin is to die in Christ. Die to the cross. Get rid of that Adamish blood that you got in you. Because you become a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. When you make that cross the central, vital, and central to your life, it is victory over sin. It is vital and central to our personal lives and our external habits. See, when you have that cross in your life and it's at the middle of everything that you do, all of the external things that you do that you feel like you have no control over, when that cross is central, when you understand that your redemption is central, when you understand that you were paid for, that you were bought with a price. When you understand that and you make it central, your personal life will get better. One of the biggest things that the devil uses and he loves for us to use and to say, I couldn't help myself. How many people have said that? You've done something and you say, I couldn't help myself. But you can help yourself. If you think about the cross, hallelujah, not always about what Jesus do, but if you think about what he did on the cross, and you make it in your life. Amen? If you make it central, it is a life-changing experience. So let me tell you the problem with this. We have not made that the center. We sing it, Jesus be the center of it all. Jesus be the center. Be the center of it all. Jesus be the center of it all. But we haven't done that. Because when you do that, it is a life-changing experience. When I say changing, it is a transformation. See, we could change, but I'm talking about a transformation. We can change, but we need a transformation. We can change, but we need a transformation. See, Peter changed, but he needed a transformation because Peter cursed. Peter denied Christ. He needed a transformation. Amen? We need to die to sin. Hallelujah. Not try to conquer it. Leave it be. Death is the end all, the death to the end all of sin. Die to it. We need a transformation. But because we don't have transformation, there's a little hole in our armor that the devil knows he can get through. And once he gets through that, once he finds where that hole is, he's going to keep going and going and picking going through that hole until you cover it up. He's going to keep going. You know what? We say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right? We say, keep running that same play until you get it right. If you play sports, you keep running that same play until they stop you. Then you got to find another play. I don't care if the football is American football or soccer. You just keep running that same play until you get it right. He keeps running that same play. He keeps doing that same thing to you. I always tell you the same demons that you had is the same demon that keeps coming after you. The same demon keeps coming after you. I always use this phrase. Same church, different pew. Same church, different people. The devil hasn't changed his tactics from the beginning of time. And that's been millions of years, thousands of years. And you only been here a few years compared to him. He got it down pat. You know when he has it down pat? He don't hardly have to think about what he gonna do to you. He see, oh, okay, he's not covering this side of his relationship with the Lord. That's where I'm going. This man hasn't solidified this part of his relationship with love. So I'm going to hit after his love hole. This man hasn't solidified his relationship with Christ because he just loves money a little bit too much. So I'm going to attack his money. This guy over there, oh, he just loves women way too much. Way too much. So I'm going to send a few nice ones his way. This one over here, they can't tell the truth. They can't stop lying. So I'm going to put them in compromising positions that they have to lie. He ain't changed. The same thing that you didn't like when you were 5 is the same thing that you don't like when you're 55. But that cross, you see that cross? I always explain that cross in a certain way. In the Old Testament, you need to go to the priest and once a year or whenever they go behind the veil to speak to God. And you couldn't speak to him. You were nobody. But then something happened. That person who there's nobody like, he came and he died on that cross. That cross under that veil, is behind that veil. Well, you could speak to the person that died on that cross, and that door opens to the veil. It opens to the veil. You can't get to behind that curtain except going through that cross. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. He says, I am the door. All you got to do is turn the knob and walk on in. All you got to do is take a step, and your life can change. Come to the door. Change your life. He's already prepared it for you. He's already done everything that you have to do. You don't have to go through any more pain. No more suffering you got to go through. No more confusion. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Lord of Lords. He is God. He is orderly. Because he did nothing without the okay of his father. And I don't know how he did it. And I can't explain everything. But I know that there's a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they're all one. So I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he asked the Father and then turned around and said, okay. I don't know how he did it. It's beyond my imagination. But he said it, and I believe it. That's the key. He said it, now you got to believe it. Because without believing it and having faith, ain't nothing going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. This Resurrection Sunday, you already heard it. Your life is different than it was last year. It's different than it was last year. Here last year, this time is not here this year. They're not here. Some probably were scared to die, and some probably couldn't wait to die. But you know, we were born to die. From the time that you were born, you started dying. Believe it or not, from the time you were born, you started dying. And your life goes on a slope, if you're lucky, where you reach a certain age, but you're going to go down. Some people come down. Up and start declining. Even make it. It's on the will of the Father. But if you knew the exact day, time that you were going to die, what would you do? What would you do if you knew the exact day and time that you were going to pass away or that you were going to die? Because we all don't just pass away. If you knew that, you wouldn't even pay attention to the cross until it was close to that time. The person who did all of this is no fool. His name is God, Jesus Christ in human form. And he said, no man knows. No person knows the hour Will you be here next Resurrection Sunday? Will you be here next Resurrection Sunday? I'm not talking physically here. Spiritually here. There's no opportunity like you have today. I say that, and I'll always say this. I say this for the people that don't know and those who know. But that's all right. I'm going to say it again. I never give a sermon, whether it's Easter, Resurrection Sunday, Christmas, New Year's, I'm never going to give a sermon that I don't offer the opportunity to transform your life. Because that's what we're here for. Yes, I used to think that it was all about getting dressed up. I used to think it's about smelling good and looking good on Resurrection Sunday. That's what I look forward to. My parents, there were so many of us, we ain't getting no chocolate Easter candy, so I couldn't look forward to that. But I look forward to getting dressed up and having some new clothes. But it's not about that. I look forward to Easter or Resurrection Sunday to go hang out after church with my boys. You know, go to Coney Island and look. Hello? Way before I was married. I want you to hear that. But that's what I look forward to, hanging out, having a good time. Because that's what the world presented to me. And many of us today, that's what the enemy aligns us with. The coming together physically. But my God, I look forward to us coming together spiritually. Hallelujah. I this day, the most holiest, most important day in our lives. Not our birthdays. Birthdays are a gift as a result of him dying on the cross. This is the most important time if you have a relationship or don't have a relationship with the Lord to get it or to get it right. So I'm going to ask you to stand this morning.